Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't seen a designation for Will to be on IR yet. Is that coming? And any other news?
Yeah, we'll put Will on IR here on the whatever it is at 4 o'clock. And signed Miles Battle to the 53-man roster. We put AA on, put Alex Austin on injured reserve. Signed Bill Murray to the practice squad. And obviously Thayer, he signed from Cleveland's practice squad. So just working through some moving parts here as we get to the, you know, middle part of our week with Monday night preparation and, you know, everything that we'll have to do to make sure that, you know, we've got 48 guys that all have a role and understand how they can help us win the game on Monday.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show, on the night before Thanksgiving. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Don't forget, you can stream WEEI and the Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps, right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And along with Boston, we're coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. So happy early Thanksgiving to all of New England. And the phone lines open again at 617-779-7937. You want to talk Red Sox, you want to talk Cousin Walks, you want to talk Patriots, all on the table right now. Including what you just heard right there from head coach Mike Vrabel, the announcement that Will Campbell will be going to IR. Some other roster announcements were made. Will Campbell going on IR. He will miss at least the next four games, which means the earliest he could return would be the regular season finale. That's against the Dolphins on January 3rd. The playoffs would start after that, or maybe a week after that, depending on how those games go. Mike Vrabel also said that Jared Wilson will be missing the Giants game, but that's all he would really commit to. Vedarian Lowe, expected to start in Campbell's place. Ben Brown is the next man up at left guard. I have thoughts on both of those, but I think the more important headline here is that the Patriots this season have started the same offensive line in 11 of their first 12 games. 11 of their first 12 games, same offensive line. That's rare. That's rare, number one, that your entire offensive line stays healthy for 11 out of 12 games. And it's also rare that there wasn't one guy, one weak link that they had to rotate out. I find both of those things to be kind of amazing. And a testament to Mike Vrabel, his personnel decisions, draft picks, free agents. The only holdover from last year on the O-line is Mike Onwenu. Everybody else is new. Wilson's new. Bradbury's new. Campbell's new. Moses is new. And that is, I think, a genuine, I'm not being sarcastic, a genuine testament to Mike Vrabel, Elliott Wolf, and anybody else who put this new offensive line together. Absolutely it is. And, of course, you know, offensive line coaching as well, which I think for this team is become a good thing again. And with that, you got, you know, Doug Marrone. And because you have Doug Marrone, and because Doug Marrone seems to really understand what he's doing here, and I think has done a great job with a mix of both veterans and rookies on this O-line, then I'm not freaking out that much about Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown having to sub in for a couple of weeks. I'm not. But as I said yesterday, I also think that people are memory-holing. Well, maybe not memory-holing is the wrong word, but what people are doing here, I think, is overhyping this offensive line and treating it like it's something other than what it actually is, because last year's offensive line was so dreadful. And if you look at what you have this year, if you look at what this line has actually accomplished so far, Drake May gets sacked a good amount. Not every time is it the line's fault, but it's still, you know, it's still a thing. And the run game has been kind of schmeh. And I think when you look at those two elements of, you know, the offensive line, the run blocking's been okay, and the quarterback's getting sacked a lot. They're better than last year, no question about it. But I also think that putting Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown in those two positions brings you a lot closer to last year than maybe you want to admit. Now, maybe Doug Marrone can offset that. Maybe Morgan Moses and Bradbury and this rejuvenated Mike Onwenu can offset that. Hopefully they can. And I think Marrone's really the guy you look at. Like, Doug is, let's see if he really is as good of a coach on the O-line as we thought he'd be. And as we expected him to be, and as I think we all sort of can acknowledge that he's been. It's a lot. I mean, you got two rookies there. You got two rookies on the left side. You got a rookie left tackle. You have guys that did not really ever work together, and now they all got thrown together, and they've made it work. They've made it work. Have they been exemplary? No. Are they one of the better offensive lines in the league? Definitely not. But they've taken a massive step forward from last year. No question about that. Now, some adversity. You're worried this team's not facing enough adversity? Here's some adversity right here. 40% of your offensive line, you got the backups in, including left tackle. And you don't exactly have guys in there that have been superstar backups either. Vidarian Lowe had some real struggles. Ben Brown had some struggles. Both of them also had games where they were serviceable, you know, where they were perfectly fine. And I think that's what you're shooting for. That's what you're shooting for against the Giants. That's what you're shooting for against Abdul Carter and Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns, who had all this to say about Drake May. Listen to what Brian Burns, who is... Just a second. He's got, you know, a lot of sacks this year. He's a very, very good pass rusher in the league. He was asked about Drake May, and listen to how in-depth he got.
About two plays. And I know folks have said that about Jackson Dart a little bit, too, of maybe there's a little bit of how do you sort of exploit that as a defender?
Really just getting to him, like hitting his blind spots, like his backside. Like, I feel like at times he's so caught up in, you know, making the right play or, you know, getting so caught up in his routes downfield, he just forgets about somewhat of what who's rushing him, if that makes sense. Like what I mean by poise, it could be a bad thing, could be a good thing, but what I mean by poise is that he takes his time, that he makes the right reads, and you know, he tries to make the right play. It can also bite you in the butt at a certain amount of times if you know, you got edge rushers coming and you're not really too cognitive of where they are.
Okay. Brian Burns with some I didn't think anyone asked him for constructive criticism like that, but he was happy to give some. Happy to sort of chime in with what he thinks Drake May could do better. Which, couple of things there. Number one, I kind of agree with him. I think that May this year has held onto the ball a little bit. He does focus downfield. He does sort of lose sense of the pocket and if it's collapsing and when the pressure's coming and all of that. That's happened. You've seen that happen before. You've seen that happen recently. But what I really take away from that is Drake May is not going to surprise anybody anymore this year or maybe for the rest of his career. He's not going to take anybody by surprise, okay? Those days are over. You go on a stretch like the stretch that he went on, people are, I guarantee you that Brian Burns has watched a ton of Drake May film. Wouldn't you say, doesn't that sound like a guy who's been sitting in a film room watching Drake May and watching his tendencies and looking at how he, you know, maybe locks in downfield a second too long? and how that's an opportunity for a guy like him, you know, to get in there and cause some damage. Drake May has had a tremendous year, and there's a lot of great film of him. But you also, in that film, see Myles Garrett sacking him five times. You see the Falcons with that stunt, which I think opened the door to a couple other teams trying that exact same thing and it working for them too. That strip sack that May had where Campbell ended up shoestringing the guy right before he could take it in the end zone, that was, I think, not something that, you know, other teams have unlocked, but it definitely was a play that was effective, and you've seen other teams run it effectively since then, like the Jets and like the Bengals last week. That is not a coincidence, I don't think. Buccaneers, they were giving you all sorts of blitzes too. And May, listen, he survived them. He won all those games. But what I'm getting from those comments there by Burns is that defenses have taken notice. Drake May is now no longer a guy that, you know, I didn't know he could make that throw. No, you know that he can make those throws. Everyone's aware that he can make all those type of throws. And now they've decided to go about trying to stop it. They've got enough film on him. And I said this early on in the season. I said, as great as this is, you know, defenses do adapt. They do adapt. Even when your guy looks like Superman, even when he looks unstoppable, and Drake May for about a month looked completely unstoppable. Eventually, defenses adapt. It's the NFL. It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. The great ones can withstand it. The great ones can adapt. The great ones can find new ways to beat defenses, even when there is a ton of film, and you know what the tendencies are, and all that stuff. The great ones still figure it out. Drake May has all the tools and abilities, I think, to be great. But that what you just heard from Brian Burns there, that could be any pass rusher on any team. They are all watching his film. Buffalo, you don't think they've been in that room watching him? And that Buffalo, the Ravens? Dolphins and the Jets again? I mean, the Dolphins and the Jets probably won't be able to do anything about it, but these other teams, it's not a coincidence that two of his last three games, Drake May has had a passer rating under 90, and he's thrown four of his six picks that he's thrown all season in the last five games. That all happens as the season goes on and more film gets viewed by these defenses and they figure out new ways to attack him. Can Drake May continue to evolve and adapt and be able to beat these teams? They should be able to beat the Giants, that's for sure. But that's a team with a pretty tough front and some good guys off the edge. Carter and Burns, Lawrence in the middle, they're not going to make it easy for you. So we'll see what happens. But that, all that to just sort of say, you know, these teams, you're not shocking anybody anymore. Drake May has a good game. No one's like, wow, where'd that come from? No. Those days are over. That's all in the past. These defenses are on to you. These good players, they're looking at how do you beat this guy? How do you take this guy down? And by the way, how do you beat this offensive line? How do you beat Will Campbell? How do you beat Morgan Moses? How do you go up the middle and beat Bradbury? And, oh, wait, you're telling me Campbell's not even in this week? You're telling me the left side of the line is two backups? Okay. It's good to know. It's good to know for someone like Burns. Good to know for someone like Carter. Guys coming off the edge, pressuring on the inside, whatever it is. You got two guys there that have not really gotten a lot of reps, you know, in terms of starting. As I said, the Patriots have had the same offensive line 11 of the 12 games they've played. That builds a lot of comfort. That builds a lot of familiarity. I don't want to say it builds dependency, but we'll see. We'll see how this works for Drake May. We'll see how Drake May feels going out there, knowing that his new left tackle, not his buddy, you know, not his buddy Will Campbell, but that guy from last year who had him running for his life every other snap, that's going to be the guy out there against Carter, out there against Burns. That's who's going to have his back. I wonder if that's going to play a role. I wonder if that's going to have him maybe seeing ghosts a little bit. Definitely could. Mark Schlereth was on WEEI Afternoons, and he had this to say about the Patriots and their plan for the offensive line injuries. I promise.
Who else needs to sort of step up and fill in here?
You know, experienced coaches, really great play callers, really great play designers and schematic designers will look at that and say, man, we can't attack that because it opens us up to potential disaster. It is more than next man up. It's how are we going to give ourselves the best chance week in and week out? And I think they're unbelievably well coached. I think Vrabel is as good as it gets right now in the National Football League as far as being a head coach is concerned. So they'll have a plan.
Okay. I mean, they do have a plan. And that plan is to go with the guys that they had on the roster, guys that were here last year, guys that when Mike Vrabel had his big enema did not include Vidarian Lowe and did not include Ben Brown. Those guys stuck around. Those guys survived. And now they're going to be starting, potentially, in a game against a bad team. I mean, the Giants aren't good, but neither were the Bengals, neither were the Jets, neither were the Saints, neither were a lot of the teams that the Patriots have beaten over the course of this stretch. And some of those games, one bounce doesn't go their way, and all of a sudden there's no win streak anymore. Drake May responded to Brian Burns, by the way. He was asked about Burns' comments, and Drake May had this to say in response.
Sure, you know, I would not 100% with what that really means. You know, I try to keep my eyes on the field with feeling the pressure. I think that's part of playing the position. So, you know, just trying to make the right play. And I know he's a great player, and he's had a great year. So just try to have a feel, I guess, of you know, where he's at. And I know he's made a lot of plays, so just keep on doing, you know, what I'm doing of you know, trying to, you know, avoid those guys and hit our guys downfield.
Okay, I mean, he didn't really say much there. I liked how he said, I don't even know what that means. It means what it means. It means you'd hold on to the ball too long is what he was saying. And that's basically what he said, right? That's what Burns said. He said sometimes he's looking downfield and he locks on too long and he loses a sense of where the rush is coming. That's something we've observed about the guy. And he's not wrong either. I mean, that's been an issue for May. That's been an issue for Drake May. A lot of those sacks have not been the fault of the offensive line. They haven't. It's been May holding on to the ball too long. May focusing in on a guy downfield, waiting for that one step where he's open to throw it, and that step not getting there, and then him holding on to the ball and going down, or taking off and running, or whatever it is, and not getting anywhere. I mean, that's happened a couple of times, too. I don't think Brian Burns said anything inflammatory, but I do think that May going, I don't even know what that means. Yeah, you know what that means. You know what that means. You know, you've seen how many times you've been sacked this year. You know what that could be about. And he tried to laugh it off. But I think he knows, you know. Okay. Sharks are circling in the water right now. We don't have our guy. We don't have our two guys. And that Giants team has a couple of guys who can get after it, including him. And he's talking about it. A lot of people talking about Drake May lately. Not in the nicest terms. I mean, that wasn't a nice thing that Burns said. Usually when you hear guys talking about the opposing quarterback, it's all the things they do so great and why they're so good. Yes, Joe.
Should I also point out it's a former Panther and Cam Newton's teammate, Brian Burns, who said that?
I hadn't even thought of that, but yeah, it's true. And also Burns, who Mac Jones twisted his leg. Remember that?
Yep, I was going to say the same thing.
Did the old alligator roll. Grabbed him and just turned around, gave him the alligator roll. You've seen that before. Yeah. Burns, no fan of the Patriots, although that was mostly just the Mac Jones thing. Mac Jones, he did some stuff like that. Remember he hit Sauce Gardner right in the nads? He was, I guess, listen, everybody in San Francisco, all they talked about for a month is how tough Mac Jones was. All of his teammates. Mac Jones, the toughest guy on the team. I was like, what? Mac Jones? Okay, whatever. It's fine.
They're still in the honeymoon phase.
I suppose. I mean, I suppose they are. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. Joe Braverman's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll be joined by the oldest man in the world, Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph. He was there at the very first Thanksgiving, and he joins us right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you're thankful you have an experienced offensive coordinator who can be creative with the game plan moving forward, because let's just say, for instance, you know, the Patriots did what a lot of people wanted. Let's go get a young, hot name that's from the West Coast system. And that could have been great. But now you're into the point in the season where guys are getting injured, and Josh has done this so many times before and has the experience of figuring out how to navigate around injuries or maybe where you could be a little shorthanded. And so having a coordinator with that experience and realizing I'm not just going to go call plays next Monday night against this defense with some of our guys down, I have to be very mindful of how I put the game plan together and how I call the game on Monday night. And so that's where you got to be thankful that you have an experienced guy who's been through the fire in a lot of different situations.
Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. That was Brian Hoyer talking on WEEI Afternoon, saying the Patriots should be thankful that they have Josh McDaniels to help them navigate all of these O-line injuries. And that's an interesting take on it, I think. Because while I do think the Patriots are very lucky to have Josh McDaniels for a lot of different reasons. Number one, his work with Drake May already has been tremendous. I mean, it's just been tremendous. There's no question. I think that what he's done for the wide receiver room, which I guess you could say is an extension of the work he's doing with Drake May. I put that at the forefront. I've also noticed, you remember the year with Mac Jones, the rookie year with Mac Jones when Josh McDaniels was here? Every single time Mac Jones would come off the field after a series, he would go right to Josh McDaniels. That was the first guy he'd talk to. And McDaniels was right there, right on him. I mean, he just followed him around. They walked up and down. They went over everything. And it seemed like a pretty good situation. Seemed like Mac was thriving with it. It seemed like he trusted Josh. It seemed like Josh had a lot of, good advice for him or whatever. They went over things, and they were constantly in communication. They were constantly talking. You didn't see Mac Jones take a step without Josh McDaniels right there. I mean, just right there, like a shadow. Now, Drake May comes off the field. He doesn't go right to Josh. He goes to Vrabel. He goes over to Vrabel. That's who he checks in with. That's the first stop that he makes. You do see him talking with Josh, too. It's not like he blows Josh off or anything. But it's a different dynamic, certainly, than it was with Mac and Josh back in 2021. Drake and Josh, trademark, is a different dynamic. But it's one that you can't deny has worked out wonderfully so far. And I think has really, in a lot of ways, boosted the profile of Josh McDaniels to the point where you have Brian Hoyer now talking about, hey, this team should be thanking their lucky stars that they have Josh McDaniels here to navigate these injured offensive linemen. And that's what sort of got me. What is he the guy navigating that? Or is he just have to go with who they have? You know, like, is that, I feel like the navigation of that was more of a Vrabel thing or more of a front office thing, which I tend to think that Mike Vrabel is in charge of. And this goes back to what he said the other day when he was like, thanks for talking about the injuries so much, guys. Now we got these injuries. It's like, well, yeah, the reason we talked about the injuries and the reason why we talked about how healthy this team is because they're kind of shallow. There's not a lot of depth. You get past some of these starters in certain position groups like offensive line, and what you have after that is a little scary. It's a little unknown. And that's why everybody wanted maybe you to trade a sixth-round pick or two and bring in another swing tackle, bring in another, you know, interior lineman who you feel better about than Ben Brown or who you feel better about than Vidarian Lowe. I'm not saying those guys have to be off the team. You know, Vidarian Lowe, I think, has a place on the team. But as the first guy, when the left tackle goes down, first guy off the bench, that's a little worrisome, isn't it? And I don't mean this to be some big referendum on Vidarian Lowe. He is what he is. It's the fact that they were okay with that. They were okay with just thinking, yeah, you know, we'll probably be okay all year. We've had the same old line 11 out of 12 games going into this. We'll probably be okay. Oh, God, all of a sudden, here go down two of our guys. And still, even with that, they're not going to miss the whole season. Even Campbell, he'll be back before the regular season's over. So even with that, they've still gotten kind of lucky. It's kind of wild. I mean, it really is. It's a wild situation. But I don't know. That's sort of where I stand with all of that. Is that a Josh McDaniels thing or is that a Mike Vrabel thing? Mike Vrabel's the one who's got to navigate it. Josh McDaniels the one who's got to, you know, try and coach him up. But I'm not sure if Josh McDaniels is necessarily the guy or anybody's really going to be the guy that's going to turn Vedarian Low into something other than what he is. Maybe Marrone can do that. Maybe. I don't know. But I think that if you want to really sort of trace this back to who dropped the ball in terms of depth on this team, it's Mike Vrabel. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Elliot Wolf to a lesser extent, but I consider Vrabel the CEO of this team. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. And joining us now here on the guest line is your friend and mine. He was live there reporting on the first Thanksgiving ever. The oldest man in the world. I'm talking, of course, about the great Tom King, the Nashua Telegraph. Mr. King, how are we doing tonight, sir?
What time do you want me over there tomorrow?
Anytime you want, buddy. Anytime. Come on over. We got a seat for you. You know, pull right up.
Do I have to bring anything?
No. We got the food covered.
All right.
Just bring yourself. Right, bring your sunny personality. You'll be just fine. How you doing, buddy? How you doing,
exactly.
King? I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. What's going on with you?
You know, just working. A lot of high school stuff. A lot of Patriot stuff, too. And, you know, I did a little college stuff yesterday. So things are going all right. And now we're getting into the meat of the season with the Patriots in terms of the games that really, really matter now, right?
True.
You know, there's... You know, you got the Bills and the Ravens is the only teams that can really challenge them, I think.
Yeah, your Big Blue are not going to challenge them, you don't think, there, huh?
I think they'll challenge them, but I think that the Big Blue will do what Big Blue has done. They've blown 5 fourth-quarter leads. I'm writing for tonight's column. Why stop there? Well, might as well go 6. You know, I mean, really. It's been... For the Giants, it's been a struggle, and I had to listen on New York radio earlier today about how Bill Belichick ought to be the next coach of the New York Giants, and I almost gagged. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
According to Jacina Anderson, there's a big market for him, King. You know, there's a lot of teams very interested.
Yeah, they're very interested in how they can avoid it. That's what they're very interested in.
I would think so. Boy. Did you happen to hear what Brian Burns was saying about Drake May there? Did you catch that?
You played it and I missed it. I didn't have my hearing aid on at the time. So I missed it. But the thing about the Giants pass rush is interesting because they've got 4 guys who ought to be able to wreak havoc.
Yeah.
In the back defensive backfield. The only one who's doing it is Burns. The Giants lead, you know, they're high up in pressures, but they can't finish except for Burns, you know, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. Oh, good Lord. I mean, these guys cannot get to the quarter. They push people towards the quarterback, but they can't get to the quarterback. So,
well, Burns got to the quarterback 13 times. He's doing fine, but you're right. The rest of them,
not so much. He's the only guy who finishes for them. And, of course, I guess if you're looking at that kind of a lineup, this is not a good week for the Patriots to be lacking on offensive line depth. And by the way, I guess I was kind of right a little bit about Will Campbell because everybody seems to be so upset that he's out. You know, so that's a good sign for Will Campbell. But, you know, you win games in the NFL when you've got a good offensive line. I think that's the most important component of any football team besides the quarterback is the offensive line. I really do. And the Patriots have really, you know, I mean, they've really gotten an offensive line that has at least kept their quarterback from getting mangled. And I don't think last year, if they had to go with the same offensive line they went with last year, they would have been in trouble.
Sure, but they got 40% of that offensive line from last year going to be on the left side of the line this weekend and for maybe the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So they've got the Giants this week, but they have a bye. The bye week helps them out a little bit. I think that I think they're going to probably get their left guard back in time for the, you know, for the next game after that. Campbell, obviously, he's got to be out for 4 weeks. He won't be back until the season finale. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the closest knit NFL teams or Patriots team that I've ever seen. I mean, these guys, did you get the attitude after the end of that game with Cincinnati and all the things they were talking about at the podium and the interviews and everything else talking about, and I think that, you know, Jelani Tavai's situation, whatever that is, has something to do with that. They were, you know, and then they see all these guys go out with injuries. After that game, a game that they won, they weren't too jovial, you know. And I think part of it is the fact that they're concerned for their teammates.
Yeah, I did notice that. Campbell. You noticed it with Vrabel in his normal speech. You noticed it in the post game pressers. Everything. I mean, it was not the normal jovial mood that you get from that group.
No, it was not, and that speaks to the fact that this is a close knit team. And I think the guy that creates that atmosphere is Mike Vrabel. Because he was a player, and I think that goes hand in hand with the kind of atmosphere that he wants to create around his team. Now, winning helps that, obviously. Sure. Everybody loves everybody when they win, you know. But I think the Patriots team that I've covered that was the most at odds with each other was the 2019.
Oh, I can't get these guys to play how I want them to play. The Dalius Thomas, Randy Moss. Yeah,
that was the Belichick's line to Brady on the on the sideline, right. Mic'd up at New Orleans.
The Ray Rice team, the team that got beat by Ray Rice in the first round, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and Dalius Thomas saying that they couldn't get in. You know, they didn't have the Jetsons.
Right. I forgot about that. That was a good one too.
Right. That was a great line. Yep. And then there were some. I don't know if that was the year that. Tommy Curran got into it with one of the linebackers. It was, you know, the linebacker didn't like what Curran wrote and was screaming at him in the locker room. There were a lot of bad things that happened that year in that locker room.
Yeah.
It was just but this locker room, even after games, now obviously they've won them, but even after the games they lost, you know, they didn't point fingers. They didn't, you know, none of that. And in the games they've won, I mean, they really, you know, they've been serving their teammates. You could tell they're, That's the one thing a coach always says, right? Play for each other. And this team seems to be doing that. Now, you know, enough of the kumbaya stuff. I mean, they're going to have to play football. They're going to have to play some good football when they face the Ravens and when they face the Bills. And those are going to be games that we're going to know more about. We're going to know where the Patriots stand with those two games.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think that a game, you know, a team like the Bengals, which had, you know, coming into it, given up 33 points a game, that was a where do you stand kind of game in the sense of how good does your offense really look? And I thought that Bengals defense gave Drake May hell for about three quarters worth of that game.
I think they took them lightly. I think the Patriots, in their own mind, I mean, you're going to do that over the course of a season. I think the Patriots took that defense lightly, and I think the defense, maybe Cincinnati's defense, said enough of this. We're tired of being, you know, picked on. We're tired of being told how bad we are. At some point, a team is going to do that. But what happened in the end? They ended up losing the game, which is what bad teams do. That's what my fear with the Giants is, that they're playing all these close games. At some point, somebody's going to just blow them out. And that's what happens to losing teams, you know. And could it happen Monday night? I don't know. I think that they match up okay a little bit in certain areas with the Patriots. The one thing with the Giants that the Patriots have to be concerned about, and don't forget the Patriots are banged up on defense too.
Sure,
is that the Giants score, as opposed to other years, they score points. Whether it's Jameis Winston at quarterback or whether it's Jackson Dart at quarterback.
Or Jameis Winston at wide receiver, which I enjoyed.
That was a great play, wasn't it?
That was
fabulous. You know,
it's a play of the year.
Jameis Winston is, by the way, he signed a 2-year deal as their backup. I hope they, and that's great. I mean, I think that's the perfect job for Jameis Winston. Be a backup quarterback, set the atmosphere in the locker room, help the starter out, and then if the starter goes down for a few games, play like he does. And that's the perfect spot for Jameis Winston, because if you have Jameis Winston throwing the ball too many times, it's going to end up in enemy territory. It's going to end up in enemy hands. And I think the Patriots probably, if Jameis Winston plays on Monday night, we don't know yet. Dart practiced fully today, so we'll see. They all thought he was going to play last week. He didn't, so we'll have to see what happens. And by the way, before you let me go, you're going to take a Thanksgiving Eve quiz.
Okay.
A one-question quiz.
One-question quiz, well, okay.
One-question quiz. So is this? So I'll ask it now.
Okay.
So what is the most significant thing that has happened to the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving in their history? The most significant thing.
The butt fumble.
No.
No?
Good answer.
Okay.
No.
That's the most significant thing I can think of that happened on a Thanksgiving game. Let's see. All right, let me think. It was a game that they played or something that happened?
Yes, it was a game they played. Yep, it was a game they played.
Thanksgiving game that they played. I remember they played Detroit one year in the red jerseys. I don't remember anything big happening that year. I don't know. What is it?
You got it right with Detroit.
Uh-huh.
It happened 25 years ago. A quarterback by the name of Tom Brady played in his first ever NFL regular season game.
Of course. Not his first start, but that was the first game that he appeared in, right?
It was the first game that he appeared in. Mm-hmm. He was in relief. They lost 34-9. They just bled so out. They put Brady in. And he went 1 of 3. And his first completion, his only completion, was to a player named Rod Rutledge, tight end.
Tight end, yeah, sure. I remember Rod Rutledge. Okay, yeah, you know, a lot of people think Brady's first game was that game with Mo Lewis, but it's not. Yeah, he got into games before that. Yeah.
Right, a skinny backup Tom Brady, a skinny third-string quarterback, I think, and he went right in there and played two, three passes at the end of that game. I saw some of that game, too. I said, oh, this is Brady kid. Let's see what he's like.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
Yep, Bill Belichick's first year as head coach.
Okay, hey,
of the Patriots.
Before I let you go, Tom, real quick, Drake May has thrown 4 picks in his last 5 games, and in 2 of his last 3 games, his passer rating has been under 90. Is this anything that you or Patriots fans you think should be concerned about?
Well, I think what it is that defensive coordinators have found something.
Mm.
And they found something to try to confuse him in coverages and also maybe get May to throw on the run or throw in panic mode. May has one habit, and maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you'll disagree with me. He tends to, and those picks have been sailed, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them have been sailed. That's what he does. He overthrows receivers sometimes because he sees a receiver wide open and he wants to hit him deep and he overthrows them. And that's one of the things that he does as a quarterback. And I'm sure they're going to work with him on that. But coordinators are, there's a lot of film on Drake May now, and they're looking at him and they're trying to flood the passing lanes, trying to confuse the coverages, and he doesn't get confused too often. So, we'll see with the new Giants defensive coordinator. Oh, God, what a team. We'll see what the new Giants defensive coordinator comes up with this week.
All right. Tom King, Nashua Telegraph. Great talking with you as always, buddies. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
Yep, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you, Tom. It's Tom King, Nashua Telegraph, joining us here and apparently joining me and my family tomorrow at Thanksgiving dinner. On the Christian Arcan Show. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines. When we come back, I've pushed it off long enough. We got to talk about this wild week Bill Belichick's having, and we'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have a new report that Bill Belichick is going to be on the radar of at least two NFL teams, maybe three NFL teams in the hiring cycle. What is your expectation of interest in Bill Belichick from the NFL this offseason?
I don't know what to say about that, to be honest with you. I just don't know how real it is or isn't. And I don't know how interested he is or isn't in going to the NFL. I think it's a lot of noise more than it is anything else right now. I'm not telling you it is real. I don't have enough information, and I don't really like some of these proclamations that people, I don't know of it to be true. So that's what I got there.
Something tells me Adam Schefter doesn't believe in this Belichick story. It's Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. If you don't know what is being referred to there, earlier this week, Jacina Anderson, NFL insider, reported that multiple teams have Bill Belichick on their list of coaches to interview this offseason. Anderson said on Twitter, I'm told at least two NFL teams are still expected to have interest in talking to Bill Belichick behind the scenes. At the very least, about head coaching jobs this carousel season per a league source. A third team could also enter the mix with desires to talk, particularly if one specific personnel change is made under ownership, the source added. Anderson also offered insight into why Belichick hasn't landed an NFL head coaching job, pointing to organizational issues that concerned prospective teams. Quote, there's more to the story of why Belichick did not end up head coaching another NFL team a couple seasons ago, with his own desires and preferences regarding workplace dynamics playing more of a part in it than I think has been discussed, publicly known, or given real credence. Jacina Anderson has not been listening to this station, certainly not listening to WEEI Afternoons. They gave all that plenty of credence, as did everybody here. At any rate, Belichick still has deep respect from a number of owners across the league, and that is what matters. Still has deep respect? Even now? Jacina Anderson, that went into the comments and dared anybody to sleep on her report. Even said that one team has Belichick as their number two on the list right now today. I got to be honest with you. I don't have any skin in the game here. Bill Belichick, there's no reason for me to really care one way or the other, aside from the fact that he was the coach here for a long time and brought me many wonderful memories as the coach of the Patriots. But I just cannot imagine that there are owners out there watching this whole thing play out in North Carolina and going, yes, sign me up for that. I also thought it was interesting how Schefter was like, I don't even know if he'd want to go back to the NFL. Really? Really? You don't know if he'd want to go back to the NFL and try and break Don Shula's record? You don't know if he would want to? Why wouldn't he want to? It's going horribly for him in college. UNC, he's a joke, basically. Thing is, he doesn't seem to care. It doesn't really seem to be bothering Bill all that much. He's just kind of floating along. Someone told me, it's like Bill has this incredible ability to not be put off by awkward situations. And it's pretty awkward with him right now. Him and Jordan and Pablo Torre and everybody. To the point where every time I read anything from some, UNC football insider down there, it's always the same. It's always the boosters and the officials are just beside themselves embarrassed by this whole thing and how it's playing out and what's going on with it all. And now Jordan and Pablo Torre, she's going to sue him, and he's got receipts and da, 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 da. I don't know what's going on there. I don't. I like Pablo Torre, but I don't know exactly what those receipts mean. He had some screenshot, and he said it had been Photoshopped, and we know that Jordan is great at Adobe Photoshop, but I don't even know what the thing was about. I don't even honestly know. I haven't taken the deep dive. Because ultimately, I don't really care that much. I don't think it's going to last long for him. I think eventually, now that they're already non-bowl eligible, that this is going to continue. They lose to North Carolina State. That's who their football rival is. They lose to that team. You may see that be the last straw. That may be the last straw. You lost to Duke. You've embarrassed the program. He's embarrassed himself. It's been a pretty ugly debut season for Bill, I would say. And I wonder how much longer it's going to go on for. I wonder how much more of this that the school can take. And then there's this. We were talking about cousin walks and, you know, Thanksgiving traditions. I would love to go to the Belichick Thanksgiving this year. Oh, would I love that. Oh, would that be great? Because earlier this week in the New York Post, someone named Edward Lewis. I grew up with a kid named Edward Lewis. Wonder if it's the same Edward Lewis. It probably isn't. But I knew an Edward Lewis growing up. Anyway, Edward Lewis, New York Post, had this story about Bill Belichick's daughter-in-law and wife of Steve Belichick, Jen Belichick, going absolutely bananas on Jordan in front of lots of people, evidently. This story was reported back on the 21st, which was last Friday, and I haven't had a chance to really dig into it until right now. The outburst, it was reported on the 21st, but it happened back on November 8th, and it was after UNC had won a game. It was after they beat Stanford. It was inside Bill's office at Keenan Memorial Stadium, and Jen, Steve's wife, was very mad at Jordan over an interaction the two had earlier in the day. Now, we never get what that interaction was. We never actually hear what the interaction was that set her off. But whatever it was, keep in mind, this was after a win. And UNC hasn't won a lot of games this year. They haven't had a lot of opportunities to really celebrate. And it's not like Stanford's really good, but it was a win over, you know, it was a win. A win's a win. And it wasn't against, you know, some 1AA team. It was against Stanford. So, you know, you had a legitimate win there. On the schedule. And instead of celebrating, evidently Jen Belichick just tore into Jordan for 40 minutes. A 40-minute tirade, which is a lady after my own heart, let me say. Someone who's known to go on a 40-minute tirade or two. Just ask me about wearing pajamas on the plane. You don't have to do much more than that. Jordan, while present in the room, Jen screamed that all Jordan does is control-ish, before calling her bat bleep crazy, and at one point said she didn't care if this outburst resulted in Steve's termination or Bill disowning her. Jen yelled that Jordan was twisting Bill's brain before urging Bill to wake up. Sources then said she went on to issue an ultimatum saying, "You choose your family or you choose Jordan." During the rant, Jen also chided Hudson for her propensity to wear snakeskin prints at games and also muttered, "You need to eat a burger." Usually the opposite of what people tell me. At times, she directed her anger towards Bill and Steve, saying to her husband, "If he wants to fire you, fire you. If he wants to disown me, disown me. I don't bleeping care." And I would love to have seen Steve's face when she was saying all that. Because Steve had a job before this. Steve had a job outside of, you know, the bosom of his daddy, and he gave up that job to come here to UNC, and not just come here to UNC, but to come to UNC and then be the head coach in waiting when Bill decided to eventually hang it up. Or, you know, now it seems like maybe there's going to be a different outcome to the way the Belichick era ends in the North Carolina there. Either way, it's not looking great for Steve, and now here's his wife, after a win, screaming, "Yeah, why don't you just fire him?" Steve's like, "Honey, ixnay on the IRFA. Here's my hot take. Here's my hot take. I think the Belichick men have a type, right? I think the Belichick men have a type that they go for, and it's kind of a fiery, fiery broad who's not afraid to tell you what she thinks. You know, like, I think that's kind of what they're into. You know, I think Bill passed that on down to his kids, and now I think that's sort of what you got here. Because listen, in most cases, the daughter-in-law / wife of the defensive coordinator, whatever, you know, you want to say, she'll say her piece. She'll say what she's got to say. A 40-minute angry rant in the man's office with her present right there, also screaming about, go ahead and fire him, go ahead and disown me, do this, do that. That is one of two things. It's either a lady who has been pushed to the brink, which is what it sounds like, or maybe someone who's a little touched herself, right? Like, just a little touched in that, maybe yourself. And not necessarily in a bad way, but in that way that means don't set me off, because if you do, I can't be held responsible for the blast radius of what comes after that, all right? It may blow up the whole office. It may blow up the whole room. And, you just don't want to go there. But they went there. A 40-minute blow-up. Now, what's interesting about this is that all we hear about is what Jen Belichick said. Are you to tell me, am I to understand that Jordan just stood there and took it for 40 minutes? Pause. Is that what you're telling me? She didn't respond. She didn't at any point in the 40 minutes interject and say, like, hey, bleep you, Jen, or something. I mean, I don't know. Like, she just stood there quietly and was just like, okay, well, you know, you got the right to say these things. I guess not. Anyway, we're going to take a break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.